Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Want to give a brief moment to talk about our newest sponsor, eBay. With a rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantees, it's meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. Chaz, what's that word? Authenticators?
Authenticators.
Authenticators, yeah. I feel
that we're authenticators.
I think we are. We authenticate things. I never thought of myself an authenticator. Must be authenticator.
You're right. It's authenticator.
Geez.
We're not that.
It's not even that hard.
We're authenticators.
Yeah. Okay, so a team of experienced sneaker, or what are they called, Chaz?
They're authenticators, Eric.
Yeah, so a team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, the logo, the stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 plus, making it free to sell or flip your collection.
Man, go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection.
Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. March Madness is upon us. Bet online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up.
Head to the website betonline.ag or use mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. I don't relax well with my crazy life. It's just hard for me to shut off my brain and chill. I overthink, I get easily stressed out, and it effing sucks. So I did my homework and found Sunday Scaries, which are delicious and vitamin-boosted CBD gummies. They've become a must-have in my daily routine, and they chill me out in just 20 minutes. They help take the edge off, maintain my composure, and live scare-free.
And there's no risk to buy. The company offers a 100% lifetime money-back guarantee. If the product's not for you, that's okay. You get your money back. Sunday Scaries is the stress-relieving business, not the stress-causing business. I got you 25% to prove it. Visit sundayscaries.com, sundayscaries.com, and use my promo code GRIT for your discount. That's promo code GRIT for 25% off at sundayscaries.com. They're effing amazing, and you won't regret joining their squad. Hello and welcome to Dirty Water, episode 41, 42, 43, who knows, it's been a while. Sorry for the three-month hiatus. I discovered jiu-jitsu and became obsessed by a fitness tracking device. Charlie was swallowed by gaming and yacht adventures. Today's guest is 36 years old, a two-time winner of the US Open, and a surfing Hall of Famer. Our guest carries a barbed wit and is like a gilded bomb invited to rest among lilies of the field. 3 months ago, he demanded the immediate incarceration of WSL staff after its CEO tested positive for COVID-19, forcing the suspension of the Pipeline Masters. When Felipe lost his interference at the US Open, he told the WSL to change that fucking 1970 rulebook. He has skin pigmentation consistent with rust and wears his red chair long bobbed and flying. He bills his time out at $174 per hour if you want surf coaching. He's a patriot who still believes in the great American experiment, and he's the coach of the US Olympic surf team. Our guest, Mr. Brett Simpson. Hello, Brett.
How we doing? Oh, love it all. I love all that. I love all of it.
An American patriot, bro. That's a rare thing these days.
American patriot. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's a mixed times right now, you know, obviously with everything we've been going through, pandemic. Yeah, I don't know. I am a patriot. I'm a fan of freedom. I'm a fan of like making decisions, you know, for yourself. Yeah. And some of that stuff I said, sometimes I get fired up, you know, I like WSL, obviously they gave me the best career ever, but I just see things where, and obviously it's been challenging times, but there's moments where you're like, hey, sometimes I feel like they're not going, and maybe they are, you know, but going that extra length to get these events to go. And like, we have a bunch of surfers, guys and girls that are really rely on this. And it's been a long year of like no events. So sometimes, sometimes you can't not say anything. I keep my mouth shut a little bit, but sometimes I chime up and, you know, cause a little bit of a flurry.
What about the Olympics? Is it still on? And if it is, when do you leave?
Yeah. So the Olympics is on. It sounds like no spectators, no international entry. So they're kind of going bubble style format. And it sounds like if anyone in the camp really tests positive, like you're pretty much Olympics is over. So we're probably going to leave. I think it starts the 24th. We'll probably be there about a week early is the plan. Get some time in the water. And then, yeah, it's interesting. Obviously Kolohe just pulled out of Australia. So his big goal now is to kind of get right for Japan. That's kind of the next big event for him. So it's been challenging, I guess, with that in a sense of getting together with everyone. John's been in Hawaii. I didn't make the stint over there. Everyone's kind of been bopping around, and with protocols, it's been tough. It's been tough to like get together and actually do stuff and train and prepare. But, dude, it's John, it's Carissa, it's Caroline, it's brother. Like, the proof's in the pudding. You know, they've just got to go compete, and they'll fare well.
Does the coach get a medal if you guys win or lose?
I don't think so. I've been asking that question. They won't answer me.
Do you know, Brett?
Yeah.
I know Japan, it's supposed to be no spectator thing. But surfing, yeah. Right? It's on the beach. And so if you happen to get in Japan, can you go watch?
That's what I mean, I don't know the protocol of like, I'm hearing, you know, they close roads, they do all these things that make it super difficult to get around. And this is going to be kind of the most, what is it, trying Olympics, I guess, they've probably ever had. I mean, imagine however many people stay in that Olympic village and for them to all be clean. And I don't know. I heard it's a big... It's usually a big party, a lot of fun. So I don't know, like, to what extent you're going to have to sacrifice a lot to, we'll be getting tested, doing all that stuff. They're not saying mandatory vaccination. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Huh?
You probably catch something in the Olympic beach. It won't be fucking COVID. Honey, no, it's a rash. Just a rash. What's a rash? Track and field athletes? Good God.
Track and field. They're sending them to the north, I guess, because that time of year, it's like 120 degrees or something. So their shoe soles will be melting to the floor. So they're going to send them to the north and they can run it off. A little bit colder.
Going to be in your little village.
Huh?
Wonder who's going to be in your little village.
Yeah, we're out in the Timbuktu. It's like 30, hour and 30 away. So it's kind of good for us. We're not in the center of it. We're a bit, we're out away. We'll have a little space to move. I don't know. There's not a lot of athletes on the surf. There's 20 and 20, I think. 20 guys, 20 girls. So they're going to limit team, people coming in and out. Everyone has to be checked. So it's going to be strict. It's not going to be ultra fun, but hopefully we get a darn gold medal.
Who's the biggest threat to the American team?
Gosh, you'd have to say in those conditions, you know, Italo and Gabby for Brazil. Jordy, you wouldn't put it past. I mean, geez, Kanoa, Japan, Huntington boy, but Japan, he's pretty damn lethal in those style waves. I get to surf with him a lot out here. And like, I mean, he'll be hard to beat, you know? And
so you're straight short selling team Irakunjandi, or what is it, Derek? What is Australia's team name?
Oh yeah, the Nectar Punjabi. The Nectar Punjabi, or what is it?
That's
Nectar Punjabi.
MC Punjabi, huh?
Ring, ding, so what is that?
11. What's that?
What? Is, how do you pronounce it?
Oh, it's an Irakunjandi, and it's a lethal jellyfish. And it's microscopic.
No, are they going to bring some over there? What if they brought some over there and they just littered the lineup with a lethal Irakunjandi?
That'd be the sort of dirty tricks you'd expect from Australia, right? we're a bunch of scumbags, racists, homophobes, transphobes, and we exist in a structural network of white supremacism. It's much like America.
We're following.
No, we follow you. That's our word. But now tell me, Brett, what's life? How is life in Joe Biden's utopia?
I don't know. I kind of watched an interview today. It was his first time he's logged into they've got him to show up to a live interview. And it wasn't too pretty, if you ask me. But, I mean, it seems like it's hard for him to get the words out if he doesn't have a thing in the back that's telling him what to say, you know? And I feel like we do have, hey, there was problems with Trump. There's always going to be problems, you know? But, like, we have a border issue in Texas that they don't want to say is really a crisis, but it seems like it's becoming a big issue, you know? And then gas is going up the yinger. I mean, there's a lot of things that are challenging per se, you know? And I mean, it's kind of what we expected. I don't know. There's a lot of people obviously voted for him, so hopefully they're having fun with it. But I know a lot. It's 50-50, if you ask me.
What about you? What about you, Chad?
I listened to his thing today, his press conference, just expecting a disaster. And was entirely impressed.
Really? That's good.
He crushed it. Like, in terms, like, purely, I know.
Well, he showed up. If he shows up, he crushed it.
He answered questions, which was, but like, even with the migrant thing, he like fully punted on like, yes, it's an absolute disaster. I'm not going to send any of these kids away. So we got to figure it out because that making it moral again.
Yeah.
I thought, again, I'm no,
I'm not for, here. No, but, yeah, no.
I was super impressed with the punting it back to the moral issue of just like, stinking refugees. I mean, as good Christian boys, you're a good Christian boy, aren't you?
Me or Brett?
I'm a Catholic. Brett is.
I agree. I'm saying like, hey, I'm all for, immigrants in this country. But like, if we can do it the proper way and there's the protocol, you know, but like just kind of flooding in with illegals, and it's a tricky situation, and it's been going on for obviously a while, you know, but that's really kind of like,
let's be honest, Brett, you and me here, it's the orphans and the widows, right? And the fat tires, the orphans, widows, and fat tires
always win the day.
And there is something like, I don't clearly, like it's an absolute abject disaster at the border right now because I think of what has been advertised. But in terms of the sort of Christian outlook,
I'm not sure I understand.
Like, bring them fucking all in. Well, this that's is kind of wreck America.
Isn't that what they said at the start? Pretty much. I mean, they kind of were like, yeah, come on over. And then everyone was starting to make their way, you know, and now they're like, hold up. I'm sending Kamala to do the job. I don't want to do it. You do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a, they were just giving mixed reviews, you know, and now we're seeing it. It's an issue, but it's we got to deal with it.
Abject disaster.
Yeah.
But well-meaning policies often have disastrous consequences.
Also, come on. That's what we're supposed to do. Brett, come on. We're Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
You know you're a Christian.
Feel like there's got to be protocol. It's like with voting in the States. Like there's no vote, like voter ID, term limits. There's a few things that I think where these politicians, they get in there and they're there for a long time and they can kind of run amok in a sense, where if you have limits and it kind of pushes that, I mean, the power seems to sway back and forth anyhow, but it would kind of, I don't know. I feel like that would help in a way, you know. You wouldn't have a Pelosi and a McConnell and all these people that have been there for ages, you know, and even Joe himself is done 40 odd years in the so-called service or whatever you want to call it. It's not, I mean, I feel like it gets a bit jaded, you know? And it's like,
I fully expected Biden to just like stumble and atrophy his way through the thing.
Yeah.
But he was actually coherent, which absolutely shocked me. Like,
well, there's some good bills out there. I mean, they had them like Weekend at Bernie's type of deal. Just propped him up
for sure, but he like
he looked good. He actually like looked fine. He was standing there all right. The color of his pigment was a little better than mine, but not much. Like
I was expecting him to fully fall down. Like I honestly thought he was gonna have an aneurysm in the middle, but he held his own.
Yeah.
Which I came away from that thinking, oh wow, he's actually a coherent human being, which I wasn't expecting.
He did stumble at one point, though. Didn't he?
Yeah. He stumbled a bit. He said he's done 120 years in the office or something. And he said, darn it, he started thinking about something. He said, forget about it. You know, just move on.
Isn't it a great day?
He did actually fall up the stairs of Air Force One, but fall was semi-athletic, which I was impressed with.
That was definitely Trump's fall. Trump put something there and he slipped, you know. They're saying bad stairs or something. He upped it an inch.
I love it that he can fall upstairs. Everyone else falls down him up. Pulling up. What the fuck?
Hard to pull his leg up. He's got to pull those legs up.
Yeah. They must inject him with something before he... Because he did okay in the debates. He does okay in these press conferences. But they must
What I was thinking, though. But they pitched it. I thought, okay, how long was this press conference? Like, if it was announced a week before or a few days before, then I'd think, okay, they're just injecting it. But I think this thing was on the books for 14 days before.
Yeah. So he was ready.
14 days to come up with a miracle drug to...
he was in the basement.
They're fully looking in the basement.
Huh? I mean, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. It's all right. Get a little bit of vitamin D every now and then, but then he tripped on his dog. It's a shocker.
Well, didn't they have the crazy dogs that had to be taken away from the White House?
Yeah. I don't know the whole story
that. Very Hitler-esque. The president having two German shepherds.
His dog attacked. His German shepherd attacked.
Attacked the Jew, huh?
I mean, did you hear his dig at the Brits today? That was the thing that I chuckled.
Oh, he did take a dig at the Brits.
What did he say?
Yeah. Oh, he said something about like his grandfather or someone had to escape Ireland because the Brits were like getting up in their business. So like straight old school troubles dig at the Brits.
But that would have been about 200 years ago, his grandfather. So that would have been about right.
Yeah.
But when was William of Orange in Northern Ireland? That's about 300 years ago, 400 years ago. Yeah, that's about right. His grandfather, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly what was happening.
I love it that Joe said he'd be running for president in 2024.
He claimed it. That's the crazy thing. He claimed he's going again. Like, really? He'll be 125 years old. Yes. They asked him, are you running again? And he said yes. And he'll be 125.
Oh, that's amazing. It's good stuff. God bless him.
Who would have thought the joke of the Obama administration would become president?
I think Obama is actually running it. Like, he's got this little in peace ear deal, and he's looking for him, but he doesn't see him sometimes.
So good. He's like the Israeli kind of person.
I'm so over politics, man.
What's that?
How good is Netanyahu's run? Netanyahu up for corruption and fully has it. Is done and dusted. In.
Isn't it great that you can't be tried for crime while you hold high office in France and in Israel?
Really?
Yes, and it's the whole U.S. system where you can be president or prime minister forever.
Yeah, it's amazing. But you can be a senator forever in America.
Yeah.
Biden, 50 years and so on. Now, you wrote a story yesterday, the day before, Chaz, about the WSL's podcast, The Lineup.
Hmm. Yeah.
And
who was on there? I saw your guy's story, but who'd they interview? Was it Dino or
no one? Oh, nope. It was Jordy Smith, but it was Pro Dan's rant before the interview.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jordy Smith interview I heard 2 minutes of it and was like, what?
Accidentally,
I've been blown up all day that Brett Simpson is the word I heard from multiple sources. Pro Dan just roasted Biolas and Brett Simpson in this thing.
Can I? Chaz, I read the intro. The intro is hilarious.
Yeah, hit it.
Because I think it's a very thinly veiled hit on the U.S. Olympic coach. And he's
it's like the least thinly veiled jab ever.
Not even veiled. It's an unveiled attack.
Like, he should have said Brett Simpson. It would have been way easier.
Brett Simpson, not Biolas.
Yeah.
Because, Proden in his very beige, vanilla, soft, chubby little voice. He says, the number of conservative... can you do the voice, Chaz? The number of conservative, whining, fucking fascists in the surfing world, some of which hold esteemed positions in companies and on Olympic teams, is pathetic. Last week, here in the United States, 8 people, 6 of which were Asian-American women, were gunned down in a hate crime by a white supremacist male in Atlanta. There's absolutely no justification for it. And if it doesn't have a chance of correcting if you continue to avert your eyes or choose media and opinions that are more comfortable to you. I sort of said that with the wrong inflection. But, you get the picture there, Brett.
Yeah, that's... I thought we were boys. I thought we were boys. Hey, I'm... I don't know what I said to really piss him off. I said, run some contest. Can we get a damn surf contest is all I said. Like, can we run a surf contest? When are we going to get a surf contest back? You know? And I don't know. I like stirring the pot. I mean, I think all that you just talked about, obviously people getting gunned down. I personally feel sometimes we've gotten caught into a little bit of a media race bait, you know, like before anyone knows what has actually happened or what's going on, it's like, it's gotta be a race. It's race related instantly, you know? So I don't think that is the right way to go about something, but ultimately people are getting, if hate is hate, like if someone's freaking has hate in their heart, who knows where that's going to go? It doesn't have a color, you know, there's crazy. And that small percent, I feel like it is, you know, can ruin it for us right now. And we're seeing it. There's these tensions. There's all this stuff going on outside. And obviously I feel like I'm a good person. You know, I've been raised to treat everyone how, you know, I would like to be treated, and also just work hard, you know, and those are like the staples of kind of how I was raised by my parents. And I think, you know, I don't think I'm, like I said, I don't think I'm a bad person. People, whatever you say online, it can get taken out of proportion. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's issues, you know, whether you really think it's the race card that I feel like I said, they're pulling at us right now. Realistically, for us to get better, we've got to understand that we're in this all together, not try to divide us like we're 200 years ago, you know? And so that's my opinion. And I have black friends. I grew up with Mexicans, Asians. They're all my friends, you know? I treat them how they treat me, you know? And those are the ways of life. And I think social media, all these things can kind of tug and pull. What up? Is it beautiful? And so those are, yeah, I mean, Dave has his opinion. I can live with it. You know, it's not going to, doesn't hurt my heart. I just want to see them run a contest. That's all I'm waiting for is them to run a damn contest, you know, and have a fat tire and watch the boys and girls rip.
Do you believe the notion of, is that you, Chaz? You chiming in there?
I mean, yeah, I was like, his broad brush, Brett, disturbed me, and I texted with him about it, of like, what are you doing here? Like, this brush is so broad, and I don't understand why you're painting this stroke here. Like, because
I feel like there's been a lot of that through the WSL, a lot of virtual signaling and stuff like that recently, where they're obviously, I don't know, you know, the upper echelon of, I kind of know who's running it and I see why these things are happening, but I don't know if that's kind of what's pulling these cards and, you know, their Instagram and whatever they're putting out there. I think a contest at this stage would help a lot, because that's kind of the WSL World Surf League is like, it's a surf league, you know, and that's where obviously we have issues. We have political issues and all this other stuff going on. But I think it's a great time to pull each other back together, is get surfing going. It'll help the industry and it'll bring us together. We've been disconnected for the last year, you know, everyone's kind of been in their house. Possibly had their masks on, possibly not, getting yelled at. I don't know. The fat tire Friday. What day is it? It's Friday in Australia. It's
Friday in Australia, yeah. Thursday night in the US.
Beautiful.
Tell me, Brett, do you believe in the notion of generational guilt? That long past generations, you carry the weight of the guilt?
I don't, because I don't have anyone personally in that I know that has lived through slavery or anything like that, in a sense, you know? So I don't, like I said, I try to treat everyone as I'd like to be treated, you know? And if I say something that pisses someone off, so be it, you know, I'll live with it and I'll talk to them. And if they want to confront face to face, that's easier, to where you can see who the person is. You know, everyone's judging over online or a comment, and it's like, that's not going to really do anything. You could, yeah, oh, he's racist. He put a United States flag. He's racist. Like, really, dude? Like, come on. Like, it's not about that. You know, there's so much more. There's so much more to it of like knowing how a person is, work ethic. And I think right now we're getting tugged away from, you know, generations. Like when I was younger playing baseball and soccer, we started to have like, you know, participation trophies. And that ended up like taking away these incentives of getting good. And people just think they deserve something, or they haven't really worked for it. You know, you got to work for something to really enjoy it and cherish it. And I think those stables have disappeared a little bit in our youth. You know, I think they're a little misguided in our schools. There's obviously certain communities that are, you know, better taken care of. And that stuff, I think community basis will help these certain areas get better. How do we build them up? You know, how do you, whether it's you invest money, you invest programs, stuff like that, but it's not going to help. The government isn't going to fix it. They're not going to fix it. You know, they're not going to be the ones. And that's where I feel like they come in and try to tell you, we're going to fix it. We're going to, here's $1,400, go spend it on GameStop and you'll get rich. Like, that doesn't, you might make a couple bucks, good, go, you know, good for you. But ultimately, it doesn't create any work ethic or knowledge of like you for your future and down the line, you know, and that hard work that I so dearly appreciate, you know, and that's just, like I said, that's how I've been taught, like grind. Like my dad was always grinding me. He played professional football, but he was always on my ass. Like, you got to work, you got to work, you got to, it's not going to happen overnight. And it's that long process. And I think there's still a ton of, I see people every day, every families, everyone's busting their butt, you know, for their families and working hard and bringing home every dollar to, like, you know, live. And this last year, people losing their jobs left and right. I saw businesses, like, some said, screw it, we're going to stay open. Some said, we're closing up, and now they're gone, you know? So it's been a lot of different emotions. And I think, I don't think we were taught, you know, or we were told 14 days to, like, slow the curve of the virus. And then it became however long, 10 months later. And now we're, you know, there's obviously been death, but like we knew what we were dealing with at some point. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. I feel like it, at least in California, our governor kind of overstepped in a way. And, you know, we're going to deal with it for a long freaking time. And it's not necessarily even me. It's like my kids and then their kids, like, who knows if we're even around by then, but I just feel like, dude, it's 1.9 trillion here, 1.9 trillion there. Like that's shit. Who pays for it? Like, we end up paying for it. Do people not understand that? Like, I don't know. It's a funny game. It's an uphill battle, but I love it.
So can you explain it to, as an Australian, can you explain, does every single person in America get $1,400? The kids, everyone?
No, I didn't get $1,400. Brett didn't get $1,400.
You're loaded, bro.
Well, is it means to?
Yeah, you're loaded too. You didn't get it.
If you make, isn't it 70 grand per person in your household?
Yes. So, I mean, if you're getting your $1,400, then I'm going to set up a GoFundMe to support the U.S. Olympic surf coach.
I'll get you on.
Below the poverty law.
I'll get you a GoFundMe going. Get me a GoFundMe too.
I'm going to set up a GoFuck me.
No, I'm not doing one for me. I'm doing one for you.
That's my business. My business got all the cash, dude. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Your business. But you personally didn't get the $1,400 check, did you?
No.
Your family? I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, I think it is, not that it's rare, but like, obviously it's great for so many people, but it's not,
well, the unemployment too, I mean, you got unemployment where people were legit making more than they make at their job. So they're going, why? I don't want to work. There was no incentive, you know, to like go back to work. So that's kind of it's great. You can milk it, but it takes away a little bit of that work ethic and drive. And I've just talking to like people that own businesses, you know, they're like, yeah, I let go of so-and-so and they're making more, so they don't want to come back. You know, it's like, it's kind of a weird little deal.
I mean, and to answer Derek's question, no, it is not every family. It is like a specific number of people who get it, and great, like whatever that is. But yeah, it is a pretty low, it's weird. The whole thing is weird.
So it exists as as something to support people rather than to boost the economy. Whereas in Australia, everyone got, you know, cash and whatever, purely to boost the economy. So the more people that got it, the better, because more money was getting spent and poured back into the economy.
But oops. Yeah, that's what everyone also did here. They put it into GameStop.
For children and mine. Yeah. Did you go in on GameStop, Brett?
I didn't, no, but I just think it's so funny how whatever that brand or the company Robinhood, how they can end up going and just like closing it down. Like that wouldn't happen if they were making all the money. Like, I just don't understand. It's just, and then I just, it's confusing to me how that shit happens. And it's like, it's disappeared.
Robinhood's floating their own IPO now. So you can get in on Robinhood's IPO where they're floating their own stock. Which will be pretty funny, I reckon.
I haven't dabbled too much.
But sorry.
No, go. I'm good. I'm just sticking my nose, having a flat tire.
Explain flat tire. So flat tire is an American beer.
Oh, it's a fat tire. It's
fat tire.
It's a brand called New Belgian Brewing Company.
Dick Riley, you have met now their brand marketing dude.
Who's that?
He was at the wedding, at the Cersei Wallace, Charlie Smith wedding. Dave Simnuski is now in charge of all of Fat Tire's, I think, everything, marketing stuff.
Is he a nice man? Do I remember him?
You'd remember Dave Simnuski.
That's a good gig. You should get some set over.
Are you still friends? Yeah,
I mean, I have some here. I'll bring some up for you, Brett.
You have a bunch? They do the purest one too, right?
Sure. Whatever you want, I got you.
You got it? Woo! Dude, it's all about connection.
I got you on family hookup here.
Family flow deal.
Exactly.
So, Brett, have you spoken to Kolohe since he got back with his injured leg?
We were on a little chat, little group chat, the boys laughing, dicking around. He's bummed. He went over there, he heard it in Hawaii, and he had about three plus weeks at home before going into quarantine. And so he knew it was bad. He went over there thinking maybe those extra 2 weeks and can help. And he went out and surfed the other day, and I think it was just too much pain. So
Chloe's on the team still, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's him and John. Kelly's the alternate.
But okay, so what the heck is, I mean, high ankle sprains, I was trying to think about what it was today. Isn't the high ankle sprain like the mysterious nasty injury that can linger
I was telling someone today, and I had one like in 2009 where like, dude, you could do an MRI. Yeah, it is the most mysterious injury you can do. You just like can't tell where it is. You can literally train, jump. I was playing tennis. I was doing everything, basketball, go to surf, and it felt like your leg was in two. Like the pinch in the joint where you kind of, you know, your back foot's kind of cocked in there. Like, oh, brutal. But
what is it the tendons up?
Yeah, like it's more the tendon tissue deal, I think, where it's kind of where it meets. Like mine kind of hit it, like connected and kind of chipped the bone. But in there, I think it just gets obviously inflammation, but it's so hard to pinpoint even when you're treating it, like where you should be hitting.
Like even, I mean, LeBron went down with a high ankle sprain. Right?
Yeah, he has one right now.
Yeah, exactly. And you see like, okay, oh man, like I've watched sports enough to know this can take an athlete out for the entire season. Like where it doesn't sound bad, it sounds like a sprain. But there's something super serious about it.
The high ones, like, dude, those basketball guys on a low one, like out when they roll it out, like LeBron's landed and the guy hit him and it went in kinda. Where the low one where you roll it, like, dude, they'll just tighten their shoe and get back out there, you know, like on some, like majority of those ones, they'll just tighten it down and they'll go. But those high ones, I don't know what it is. It's like you said, it is a mysterious one, and it has taken people out 6 months. I think Courtney Conalog had one like, oh, it won't be a big deal. Then it lasted. She was out the whole year, you know?
So is Kelly just like rubbing his hands right now?
He might have the voodoo doll. He might have the angel voodoo doll. He's just now. No, I don't know. I mean, shit, it is crazy to think like we have John and Kolohe are, you know, they earned their spot, but it is crazy to think like gosh, how big Kelly is, like, for the Olympics. You know, I feel like he has to be involved some way, shape, or form just for surfing, you know, but I don't know how, what he feels about it all. He's definitely, you know, he wants to be there for sure.
Would you like him on the team, Brett?
Does he come no matter what as third alternate?
Huh?
Does he come no matter what as alternate? I mean, will Kelly
like he has the invite. I mean, yeah. I don't know how that works. Like if he has to come or, but he's like, he's invited to come. So, but I was hearing maybe NBC commentary team. I don't know. We'll see.
Ooh. And would you like to chime in on the NBC commentary team? Hey, Brett, would you like to have Kelly on the team?
I mean, it would be, it's pretty rad. Like I was able to do the ISAs in Japan. What was it? Would be 2019 now with him and Kolohe. Who else was there? Connor at the time. And it was interesting, you know, he's obviously, he has his own deal. He knows like where we were, he was surfing all these crazy waves before. And the one, there was one heat, he showed up like damn near 3 minutes before, you know, he did the kind of Kelly deal, but it was pretty fun. You know, he just relied on obviously watching the conditions, where's the best waves. It was kind of fun to see, kind of try to see it through his eyes, which obviously you don't, but it's just kind of, you're visualizing, and it's more just at that point, like you'd be like, over there has been the most consistent. Like that's where kind of everyone's been getting scores. He's like, fuck it, I'm going over there. And you're like, all right, well, can't tell him no, but like there's a, yeah, he's a freak. I was telling somebody had a story though. One time I maybe beat him. It was like 2016 or 2015 in Portugal, like end of the year. I was pretty much, I think I was out of the picture, like re-qualifying. And I was like, had a pretty good heat in round three to beat him. And I was kind of shadowing him. Like I had a couple sixes and I was shadowing around, just not letting him like get, you know, take off on a good wave when I had priority. And I ended up like nipping him, and he comes in and he's like, what are you, fucking Brazilian now? And I was like, whoa, shit. He's like snapping at me. And I'm like, dude, shut up. Like that, you would tell me to do that. Like if you, he's helped me like over years on the tour, he's like gave me little advice. And I was like, you would tell me to do that, you know, like, what do you mean? And it was just kind of, it was funny. Like just to see even then how much like fire, you know, he's all the fire he had. Like, I mean, he was only 44 then. But dude, it's, I don't know. It's hard to picture like the Olympics. I picture Kelly like as an Olympian, you know, and I don't feel bad for him, but I feel for him in a realm of like, dude, he's done it for so long, 11-time champ. Like he's deserving of it, you know, to be an Olympian and have a crack at it, but it just timing.
John and Kolohe is a jellyfish be damned. John and Kolohe is a solid duo right there.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like I think our team is the best team, but I just feel for Kelly in a sense of like the Olympics have been trying to get in the picture of surf for many years, Fernando and that, and for it to come kind of a little bit later stage, you know, be a little icing on the cake just to even have it, you know, in one. He was surfing pretty damn good on that twin though, on these little rights, that new, what is it, flat earth theory. He was surfing pretty damn good.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem to be slowing down or KS.
Yeah. Mental. I don't know. I wonder what his theory was to like not go to Australia, obviously quarantine. That kind of stuff could be a little bit when you're have done as much as he has, like, am I really going to do this? You know, going surfing, not snapper, not bells. Not that he really cared for bells. I don't think he had a lot of friends there though.
Do you think he just thought, fuck, I'm not going to do any good at Newcastle and Narrabeen. Maybe okay, Muggs.
Or yeah, Rutter. I don't know. I don't know if there was inside intel of like if someone did get a COVID case, I was hearing they got to quarantine everyone again. So maybe he's just thinking like, I'm just going to chill, dude.
But the crazy thing was he was third, like leading in. I mean, Kelly could have won 12, theoretically, right? Coming out of this one. I mean, if he ain't down in the rankings, like he's currently third, and
he finished third at Pipe. He did, yeah.
Yeah. So he is. I mean, he was third.
I know that's kind of a weird. It's kind of a weird decision. I don't know. Maybe he was. Obviously, there's injuries. You know, he's been nagging little injuries, but.
He's clearly a realist, though. He knows that fucking Newcastle is 2 foot windy. Narrabeen 2 foot windy. Muggs is a lottery.
Yeah.
And Willow is pretty overrated. I used to live there, and it's. I think people are surprised.
Okay. Rottnest? Rottnest Island like?
That's a lovely place. I just love living there. My great grandfather was lighthouse keeper there.
What's the wave like? Is it a peak or is it a.
Yeah, it's a peak, but it's got a short, really short right. Yeah. A takeoff, maybe a little bit of a tube and then a cutty.
Yeah. And the
left is probably three turns.
The left's longer?
Yeah, left's longer and hollower and probably three turns. But fuck, that's cool. you know, the Southwester, the onshore comes up pretty early. And you can look at it, some pretty ugly conditions. But it's a gorgeous place. Lots of great waves.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's got to be one of the sharkier little nooks.
Oh, fuck. There's so many whites over there. And Rotto's, you know, 20Ks out in the ocean.
Yeah, they're going to have like 15 skis just dribbling around.
Yeah.
A little shark bait.
But it's a gorgeous place. But the, you know, that Australian leg, it's like the junior series back in the 90s.
I know. I was thinking about it. I'm just stoked that they're getting this. They're going, you know, I think it's even talking to brother before he went, he's like, fuck, I just want to compete. You know, I just want to compete. And I think a lot of them are starting to feel that way. And it's like, just run something. Hey, they could get away. It looks like the last few days have been pumping little lefts. I'm sure the comp will start and it'll be onshore and 30 foot.
You've done a few contests in Newcastle.
Oh, dude, Nui. I love the play. Super fun. I never had a good result there, really. I actually, the best I did was in the other little, the actual main beach, Nui.
Oh, yeah.
Where they used to have kind of the left, little rock break left. I just, the right never got good at Nui. Like, and then there was this little rock reef that I would stay with Rossi, and Rossi would like find all these little waves, and all the locals like know what wave to look for. It's kind of, it's a tricky one.
Do you mean Mitchell Ross?
Yeah.
Fuck, he's a good surfer, huh?
Fuck, he rips. Yeah, he's gnarly. He's powerful.
And really fast. They're fast.
Yeah. Quick twitch, huh? He's like very,
He's so cute, too.
Yeah, a little Rossy boy. But, yeah, I think Carissa's staying with Rossy, so hopefully she goes good.
Nice. And so what do you think of the structure that that means, you know, someone, say, a 4 foot and under specialist, for want of a better word, will probably win the world title this year since it's been decided?
Hey, if I'm Felipe, I'm licking my chops. You know, I think there's a few crew. Italo is going to be lethal. Gosh, there's so many good guys on tour. Freaking Callanan's new part was mental. It's weird. It is weird. I've always been a fan of, like, even on tour, you're doing 11, like maybe not this year, they're not going to do 11 events, but you're doing 11 events in every different type of wave. That's the champion. You know, it's even like the Olympics is going to be a little bit like, it's a huge win, but it's no world title. You're going to win in Chiba, you know, whatever the conditions may be. Hopefully it is fun, but if it's not, it's going to be kind of gravelly, more suited for maybe someone on that day or 2 days, where to be the world champ, like, to, what if someone dominates, like someone really just dominates this year, wins three or so events, and they're like way out in front. They have the one seed. They go to trestles. They're the one seed, and five beats four, and four beats three, and so comes, and here it comes. He hasn't surfed in, I don't know, he hasn't surfed a heat in a while, and boom, this guy with rhythm or girl just goes, I don't know. I guess it's fun. It is fun. I'm not on tour, so I don't care.
I mean, let's be honest, it's not that fun. Like, when number five goes in, I mean, that's what they totally built, is number five wins the day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. The guy going in fifth is going to win.
Yeah.
And how does that dude raise the trophy? How does Felipe Toledo raise the trophy thinking, sweet, I did it. I think that's
even going to be like, for the surfers, they get that too. You know, like, it's like, did I just win the world title? One of that lowers. You had to make the top five, which is a feat kind of in its own. But yeah, it's not conducive of who's the best surfer that year. Like, plain and simple. Unless they did, I was thinking the other day, like yesterday, I was thinking about it. I'm like, why don't they do lowers, Chopu, and a three stop, you know, finale.
Lowest and Jaws.
Lowest?
Seriously, honestly, there should be a CT event at Jaws if you want to get the best surf in the world.
True. Kai's got it dialed.
Do you reckon Kai could, what would he do at lowers? Kai Lenny at 3 foot lowers. Would he do okay?
He'd surf okay, but to like that realm of like top five, it's a different beast. You get those guys at Jaws, he's making them look like a fool, you know. It's a weird deal. I don't think it needs to be Jaws. I'm no Jaws guy at all, obviously, and it's a scary ass wave. But I feel like, what if you did lowers, the most high performance wave there is, you go to Chopu for 3 days, or in that time of the year, you're gonna get a swell. You do a day there, and then you freaking go somewhere like, what's it? Maybe a left. I don't, or no, or a beachy. Go to a beachy and have that, you know, or you switch it around. That's a little more conducive of like hitting three different, like a triple crown type of deal.
Yeah, true.
I feel like that's kind of.
I don't understand how surfing has not gone the slam model. Like, yeah. It is so baffling to me how it's just not.
I don't think the whole WSL, like how, I don't think surfing, just maybe in general, it's not the huge, like a huge moneymaker type of deal. Obviously the way it's structured now with the time and the days you need. I'm a huge fan, but I don't know how you can like, I know they're doing this to make it impactful. Like, oh, it's a one day winner takes all, like everyone's going to log in for sure. But I don't know. It's a tricky deal.
What if someone, a few asterisks if John, you know what, or Gabriel or Italo doesn't win it.
Yeah. Imagine like someone realistically, because in July it's Olympics, someone could win the gold and then the next month go win the world title.
True. It
could be a hell of a year for someone.
It'd be similar, like, I mean,
if somebody does that, then they are the greatest surfer in the world. They signed Kelly Slater.
Yeah.
Greatest
surfer. Yeah, that's it could happen. Damn, it really could. Philippe's actually not in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's wild.
He's not. Oh yeah, it's Italo. It's going to be Italo then. Italo's going to win both the CT and the Olympic gold.
Yeah,
Derek, would you crown Italo greatest surfer in the world if he wins Olympic gold and CT?
I would for this year, yeah, but not of all time.
Yeah, I agree. He's having a hell of a year.
Italo's wonderful, but I know Kelly still plucks at my heartstrings.
Yeah. Kelly, man, dude, you can watch like vintage. I've watched so much different footage of him, and it's like just how he's changed, but like technique and it's just crazy. The boards, the equipment, but still, like, the stuff he rides now, but the way he's still able to surf and, like, I don't know, it's crazy. I love this. I love the old boards that he used to ride, the real rockered out boards where he just has, like, so much rail line. He's probably riding a 6.0. Yeah, 6.1, and it's like he's 5.9 or 5.10 or whatever, but it just, gosh, it was crazy.
5.9 or 5.10 in high heels.
In high heels, yeah. They give him that little hookup. Dude, I need another tire, dude. The tires are blown.
How many tires just blew off my whip.
Get a tire. We got time. Go run to the fridge.
Might do a Margie, huh?
Do you have Margs, eh?
I'm not a Dodger fan, but I got a Dodger cup. How's this cup right here? My neighbor made it. This will piss Proden right on off.
Oh, yeah.
USA coach.
Stars and stripes.
Okay, Brett, real quick here. You take none of Proden's digs personally.
No, I don't know. No, not at all.
Like, and so
we've actually I felt like we had a good deal, like, over the years, just knowing him on tour manager or whatever he was. Always thought he was kind of a nerd, kook, like, didn't really actually know what he was talking about, but I respected him, you know.
Sure, but okay, so the WSL though, positioning, I mean, like, has clearly positioned politically,
yeah,
all fine and good, right?
Yeah, yeah,
but to me, the absolute, I don't know, I don't even know what to say. Like, the discounting of any other opinion seems the fact that...
That's life in general right now, though. That's like people and it's... Everyone's lost their noodle over just, like, if it's not what they believe, it's... You're wrong.
So, precisely. But do you feel under attack? I mean, or... I don't do you feel like, what the heck? Like, why am I getting beat up here? And I guess you can't say it. You're a...
Not really, because I actually feel comfortable in my own skin and my beliefs. Like, I truly do. You know, it's not like I'm trying to, like, play a game or a picture. Like, those are my beliefs. You know, it's not like I feel like I'm a bad person. I haven't done anything to anyone. I'm not a criminal or anything, you know. Like, I'll talk to Dave. I'm sure we'll see each other and we'll hash it out and be fine, you know. But it's just, yeah, to, like, go online with a couple things of maybe the one I did the other day where I said, let's run a surf contest when they were talking about something else, you know, it was like a little jab.
I was trying to figure it out. You never said ever keep politics out of surfing, right? I mean, you've never gone on.
No, I've never said that. I've had little barbs here and there, you know, at the pipe contest when it got canceled. And even I talked to Pat O at the time, and he kind of was like, him and Elo were hating on me and pissed off at me. And I said, well, lock the staff up and run this contest, you know, like, someone else can, you know, step in. No surfers got it. It would be one thing if there was like five athletes at it. Like, shit, yeah, maybe we throw it on hold or we got to go on hiatus. I don't know, whatever it was. But it was them, and obviously anyone could catch this thing, and it's like they all caught it. They're all staying together, and I don't know. I just feel like, man, it's, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's like a media stunt to just do this stuff, but it, I don't know. I mean, I listen. I'm watching, and I'm taking all the information in, you know, but do I believe and agree with everything? Not always.
which is to me bizarre that disagreeing now is really frowned upon. Like, you better be lockstep with whatever the narrative is, or else you are the
mob, huh?
Yeah.
No, it is weird. And I think that's what we kind of like. I think we need to try to, I don't know how we figure that out, but it's like, it's just, like I said earlier, we're just divided, you know, like everyone sees it. We're pulling this way, that way. And
I don't see how we just can't talk about it. Right. Like, it just, there's no conversation where I reckon we can talk about it here. And I reckon if Prodan was on it here, we could talk about it too. But
we all, I feel like we all have more in common than we don't, right? Like most of us, a lot of us have more in common than we don't, you know? And there's the few things that we can work on, you know? It's like we could work on it, but it's just everyone trying to be right or be on the right side. And whether it was, you know, the, you know, Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, all this nonsense, which is, it's division. That to me is division, you know? And I look at it like, dude, we have to understand that everything matters. Obviously, we can't just support one side, you know? And I don't know. I feel like it's a media, it's driven, you know, and people aren't able to sometimes think for themselves, and they see that and they believe it right away, you know, and it becomes, I just feel like I'm a free thinker. I think I do my as much homework as I can. And see what I want, you know, to believe. And that's how I go with it, you know, and I'm willing to listen, though. I'm always willing to listen. You know, I've listened to some whack people. No, I'm just
kidding. Hey, Brett.
Yeah.
Do you and Kolohe have whispered patriotic conversations?
I can't tell you that. I have to. No.
America, you are. This is Miracle on Ice right here. America beats the.
We're
dreaded Australian toxic jellyfish.
We're patriots.
Patriots. Yeah. 1980 American
the Patriots hockey versus the jellyfish. Who's going to survive?
Who's going to spawn and hunt?
No, we, I guess we're on the same page, but we're, I let him do his thing. You know, he, like, that's the same thing. If we talk about anything, it's, he has a belief. You know, and I listen, or vice versa. So, you know, that's just kind of, even I think it's interesting to listen to people that obviously have a different belief and what, and maybe why they believe that, you know. I think that's part of us. And that, like you said, Chaz, that's what's gone away. That's what's like, even with even with like censorship now online, you know, like, you could say something and they'll say, oh, this is COVID-19 related, and they'll give you some debriefing, or they'll say this is wrong, or it's not the fact checked, you know? I mean,
I've been sticking Robert F. Kennedy Jr. got fully kicked off everything, right?
Where
a Kennedy for challenging COVID stuff. When it comes down to that, that's pretty wacky. When people can't speak what they think.
Yeah.
That's scarily bizarre.
It's scary. Yeah. And that's kind of where I feel like we're being duped a little bit.
Well, when Evan Gazelman was threatened with cancellation when he liked a tweet by Donald Trump.
Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't get canceled, but maybe I have. But yeah, I mean, dude, that is just like, it's silliness, you know? It's just like someone believes in someone's, you know, their policy, you know, in a sense. Yeah, Donald, he's not the greatest person, right? Like, but some of us like the policies better in a way, you know? And it wasn't like, oh, he's our Donald Trump, you know, whether it's Joe Biden, whoever, they got a difficult job, obviously, running the states. It's, you're in the limelight nonstop, but yeah, to cancel someone over that, you know, it's just like, I don't know, it's just kind of silliness. I mean, what are these people really doing? Like, what, I mean, yeah, that's not helping. It's not helping the cause, you know.
There was my beef with Prodan right there, is that whatever you said, Prodan, was not helping. Like,
yeah.
Well, so you do that right.
And yeah.
That's fine. But like, that doesn't help. Like, you have a conversation. Like, let's talk about it. Let's, you know, I mean, not that I'm the voice of the other side, but like, come on. Like, there's a bunch of people who think different than you.
Bro, like, he could easily call. He could have texted me, called me, and said, "Let's get on a pod. Let's get me on your podcast." Instead, he shied away from it, and they kind of go to what they know, you know, what they want to push, and that's horse's ass.
Horse's ass.
What my dad used to say all the time.
Horse's ass. That's dog pussy. That shit is dog pussy, boy. Holy shit, that's so good. But isn't it funny the world we live in now that someone can call you publicly a conservative, whining, fucking fascist? To me, they're fighting words.
Dude, I've thought about it. I don't train, though, man. I don't train jiu-jitsu. I love UFC, though. I'm freaking psyched on it. Bang.
How good is UFC?
Dana White, I just think it's badass, like how he's kind of charged forward. That's the thing with surf. Like, there is way more loopholes that we have to deal with. You got to get a beach. You got to get a permit from the city. You got to have the government on your side. You got all this.
Really? Stuff. Do you? You couldn't do Surf Island like they did Fight Island? You couldn't do Fiji Surf Island where you have everybody out there surfing, restaurants.
Dude, now you're thinking. Now you're thinking.
Right?
You could do eight contests. It. You could literally do four contests out there and people are going to watch. Like,
and eight different waves, right?
There's a bunch of different waves, yeah. But I don't know. They were virtual signaling, kind of sitting on their thumbs. But, you know, we're going to Australia. We got a quarantine. Why? I mean, even that, like, you guys are crazy over there.
Be crazy.
Yeah, Eric.
We're horses' pussies.
They're commies, though. They're not fascists over there. They're straight up commies.
Hey, you know the funny thing about Dana White?
Commieville, James Pryor.
Yeah.
Not James Pryor. Great man. He's a businessman.
James,
very clever.
Like James freaking Bond or that one guy. Freaking.
Hey, but the great thing about Dana White is he wouldn't have a UFC card with 36 fighters on it.
That is true.
You have six, you know, undercards, whatever. Well, the undercards.
I almost think like there needs to be. Right, I do. I was thinking that too the other day. Where like, how could you do these man-on-man matches, guys and girls? You go to spots where, yeah, maybe there's 16 surfers. You have Owen Wright versus freaking, I don't know. You go stylistic matchups, you know?
Where Kelly Johnson on Tahiti, you have to replay that.
Yeah.
Owen Italo and Clabrack.
Dude, people would watch, though, if you did these little, like, those kind of things where you're going to do a best of three surf off in wherever you have. Yeah, just the fight cards are sick. Huh?
The fight card system. I do not understand how surfing is not, in COVID, pivoted to the fight card system. The fight card
system. They have had every chance. Like, this is the perfect time to go. Even if they went to the ranch, they could have went to the ranch and went, dude, you got to knock out this guy. You're doing best of three or best of five till your legs fall off. And if you get swept, you're off the tour, dude. You got to start at the bottom again.
Like, everyone watch.
And just like some shit talking, a little bit of Gabby in there, getting everyone, roused up.
I mean,
I feel like there's more, I don't know. They're not pulling out the entertaining sides of these athletes, in a sense. Like, there needs to be a little bit more. Like, these fighters have they tell their story. They get them to tell their story and they're like, they open up. And obviously that's part of selling a fight. You'd sell your heat, you know?
Yeah, they have 50 press conferences before the actual fight, and they go all around the world, gets everyone psyched, and then everyone pulls in the pubs.
Yeah,
everyone's happy to pay $50 to watch.
Hold your board like Mick Campbell and Andy, like spearing each other. Bah, bah, bah. You don't know. Who knows? There might be a fight, you know, and you treat it like hockey. You get a 3-minute penalty. You got to sit in the box. But we're not gonna fine you, like. It's just frowned upon, you know?
You lose 3 minutes of your heat. When
you lose 3 minutes of your heat, or you get let one less wave at the ranch. Like, sure. That's it, you know?
You get to paddle back out. Yeah.
Oh, I think of hockey. You know, we'll let you out of the box.
Canadian.
Dude, how good is hockey? It's so fun. Live hockey with a fat tire. Oh, my God.
Hey, Brad. Yeah. Will you ever apologize for being an American?
Hell no. No way, man. I'm a proud American. Just, and I live in California, dude. I should be in Florida.
So you're not ashamed of institutional racism and homophobia and transphobia and white supremacist structures?
Just a little bit of everything, huh? Just like a cracked pepper.
Hey, just behind you, Brad, is that a Tyler Wright poster?
Dude, I don't want to show you what's behind me. The mirror. You know what I do? I got a really cool photo right here, though. Look at that.
Listen, that's a dog's pussy. Shit. I've never seen a dog pussy before. Yeah, dog pussy.
Oh, yeah. Pipeline.
That was a pipeline.
Was that his room or something?
Just a bunch of bullshit. My kid's room, but he doesn't use it, so I've turned it into like a mini office. And, you know, it is what it is at this stage.
Ain't that the best part about COVID, though? Houses turning into just like
full on walls.
You just go claim your territory.
Yeah. Go hide out. They got to find you. The kids got to find you if they want to hang out. In the room.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I do. I must be racist. Got a flag.
Oh, you got the flag. That's a symbol, the American flag.
I love it.
Brett.
What else we got on this card?
Before you go, it's interesting the patriotism thing because in France, patriotism used to be a no-no too, and singing La Marseillaise was like singing let's lynch African American people, and but then after a whole series of terrorist attacks, it became quite the thing to be patriotic again in France.
So yeah, I think we're going through a little.
Well, you know it.
Yeah, well, we're going through those little stages right now where, like, I think some people feel, like I said, the government's kind of overstepping their boundaries, and some may feel like they've used this pandemic to kind of so-called infiltrate and use some of these.
You've been looking close at his Instagram, haven't you?
Stricter commands. They're just really taking command of the operation, you know. But some of us are saying, you know, we're not going to have it. Like, let us live our lives. And we're not going to sit in our house all day with a mask on and or two. You know, they've just been so the transparency. It's always shifting. It's always like, oh, wear one mask, wear this. Or if you're 6 feet and then. Oh, if you get the vaccine, everything's going to be cool. Now everyone's getting the vaccine and no one's cool. You still have to, it's just like, I don't know.
It was 6 feet down to 3 feet in school. Now it's the whole reason for school being hybrid was 6 feet. And 3 feet, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. It didn't, and none of it ever mattered.
It truly did. I think it truly freaked so many people out. Like, I had neighbors at the start of this thing. They would walk in their dog. You wouldn't even say hi to me. You're like, dude, are you freaking serious? I'm on the other side of the block. Like, maybe because I had a flag in the window or something. I don't know. It's just like people aren't using their minds. Like, they were really losing their minds. Like, fear just – and that's – there's all kinds of books out there that have freaking written this already. The Bible, so-called. But if you – just looking around, people were just – they just weren't thinking properly, I don't think. And I feel like there's a group that kind of said, okay, we're going to be fine. There's people dying. There was a lot of people dying, and I don't even know how much you can, the CDC was even changing a lot of stuff. The World Health Organization, like there's been a lot of information even left out or overshot that I think kind of manipulated things. But overall, I mean, look at Florida. They did 30 days or 40 days. They definitely don't have the population as a New York or a LA, but they've trended steady. And like there's most of the people didn't close down, you know, like I said, they did 30, 40 days and the governor said, we're not going to close back down, you know, and kind of dig that, you know, let people make the decisions. They understand what is at risk, what is out there. If you're high risk, You know, there was protocols set for a reason, and then I don't know. They went from 14 days to slow it to like a year to just ruin your life and put you out of business.
I think Florida proved that sunshine and margaritas cures COVID-19, huh?
Dude, I got to get back there. I've been there twice this year already.
Why?
Do you ever think about pulling up stakes, Brett, and moving to Florida? Just becoming a state Florida man?
I've shot the shit around for like the last 2 months. Just like, dude, how sick would it be? Just the prices, obviously.
Yeah, where would you go?
For my style living right now with like my wife and kids are 4 and 6, like, dude, it is perfect for young kids. Like, there's Ponce Inlet. I don't know. I don't want to blow it out, but it's a killer little wedgie. It's like a poor man's D-ba. The Lopi brothers live there. It's a killer little zone.
Ponce Inlet.
It's kind of on the outskirts. It's like right near Daytona, which, you know, is a little, but then Ponce is like beach town. There's a harbor. It connects with New Smyrna. It's a sick place.
Wow, I don't look at Zillow. Ponce Inlet.
Yeah,
Aaron Cormican,
yeah. He's living over. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
where they're all living the dream over there. What are we doing, yeah. Brett?
California. We can get on it. I'm still thinking. Trying to use this PPE and just.
Check there, Brett. Maybe get a beautiful house in Ponce Inlet.
How sick. What's the price?
Well, if you want a 7-bedroom, 8-shitter, yeah, 10,000.
That's what we want. That's
big.
It's got 8 million?
Yeah, but it's like Versailles. It's got big fountains and the big thing.
Is that Mar-a-Lago you're looking at?
Well, maybe
that's
it is.
Trumpy's deal.
Oh, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you got this beachfront land, there's half an acre on the beach for $1 million.
CJ's a real estate guy down there. He posted someone like 500 grand. This guy was getting a pool pretty much on the water, 4 bedrooms. It pissed me off.
This block of land, Brett, is literally on the sand at Ponce Inlet.
Yeah. It's a beautiful little wedgy wave. You'd rip it up on the forehand.
Derek, you in?
Yeah, I'm in. I'm just scrolling through Zillow right now. This is my place.
You got a couple of launch pads. You work on your air game.
I'd love to do that. That'd be so happy. I'll never surf a wave over 2 foot again.
Spin the wind.
Holy shit. It's funny because I think it was 4 years ago, almost to the day, when we went to Mexico to teach Lakey how to do airs with Felipe.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting how times change and now Lakey can teach Felipe how to get tube to chopu?
I know, huh?
What a funny old world it is, eh?
Come on. Philly's actually so talented. He just has to put you got to do what D'Souza did. D'Souza's the blueprint of learning and putting in the work of these spots. He stayed at Bell's for 2 weeks after, 2 weeks before. He'd go to freaking Chopu. He did all the work, you know, to fine-tune those weak spots. And he won a world title, dude. He won a freaking world title.
He was like Brazil.
Can you fucking believe that shit? Like, that's a great story.
But Adrian is incredible. Kelly stole the limelight from him.
Oh, yeah, that's when Kelly said, oh, check out my wave pool, like, 3 hours after.
Look at me. Look at me, me, me. Screw that guy. I told you I'd get you, Adriano, and I got you. Fuck you.
That was crazy. Adriano's like on the podium, and all of a sudden you clicked on Instagram, and Kelly's in a 40-second barrel. Just like, wait, who won the title? Shit, I forgot 2015. Fuck, where am I?
Adrian's on the podium, and suddenly the TV crackles and goes, newsflash. We've created with Kelly Slater.
We just renamed it. It's the Slater Trophy.
Hey Brett, before you go,
that was wild. He's king of one upping you. He'll do that stuff, man. He's a one up, you know. My buddy on Joe Rogan. Remember that podcast? My buddy this.
My buddy Steve Irwin. My buddy Len Helton. My buddy. My buddy Barack Obama. My Elon Musk.
Buddy. I don't know. I beat Slater though, dude. That's all that matters.
He got cross at you too.
Yeah, he cussed at me. I'll remember that shit forever. Are you fucking Brazilian?
Did he say that? You remember it forever?
Yeah, Yeah. That's a story. I'm going to like, dude, I could do a book, little one pager on that.
What did he say to you in the water?
Oh, I got you.
He didn't really say much in the water. In the water, it was kind of like, kind of mumbling, grumbling. He had a few sections where he did big airs. It was small super tubos, like wasn't tubing, kind of turns. And he like launched a couple big ones, didn't pull it off. And I'm like, fuck, he's going to pull one, you know? So I'm kind of like in the lead. I was just shadowing him. Like, I'm going to take the wave if a good one comes. That's why he won so much. Guys just let him go down the beach back in the good old days and get a couple nines with ease, you know? So I was like, just kind of hanging on, take a wave. He may get a wave. And then I just played it smart and he got all pissed. He's like, dude, what are you fucking Brazilian now? I'm like, what? It's pretty classic, but I just played it. Like, it was actually a good heat. I didn't have crazy scores, but it was probably like a heat where I was like, shit, I put it together good. Like, for once in my career, made actually decent decisions, you know, and it beats Slater. I try to help him a couple times. One year out there, I beat Medina. He's coming up in the title race. He goes out there versus Aritz, and Aritz nipped him at the heels. So it's like, try to help him. Well, he just couldn't get that 12. We couldn't get 12, dude. We wanted 12.
He got sacrificed in Portugal a couple of years. It'd be dead low tide and horrible, beautiful closeouts. And
you stuff. Feeling but for him, aren't you?
It was so undignified, but and that was true.
He's Houdini, dude. He'll pull it off.
He's a mad treasure. Mad, beautiful Treasure treasure. Island. Hey, so Brett, let's end with your message to the people of America.
You know what? Freedom! You know,
well, the George Michael song.
Drop the mic. No, I mean, dude, just be good people. Is it that hard to just be like good, honest? Obviously, there's people out there that do bad stuff, and they're kind of, I feel like they're the ones that are, you can't like mix that with every good soul, you know? You just there's bad people and they're the ones ruining it for us, but we've got to realize, like, if they're going to pin it on us on every single time on race or something else before they've even like caught the person, you know, they're calling it a racial hate crime, or obviously it's a hate crime. The person was struggling in life. It's not
a rough crime, is it?
You know, so I just be good. Be good people. Take care of each other. You know, I feel like for me, with, you know, obviously being a surfer, I've had a good life, been able to travel the world. I just try to like pick up the people around town, younger kids, inspire them, get them motivated, whether it's surf, school. I mean, that's kind of my thing is like, man, if I can teach some of these kids the mistakes I've made, or just stuff like that, the mistakes I've made, the stuff I've learned, the places I've traveled to see. I think a lot of Americans haven't traveled much, so they think we're in hell and we're in this terrible place. But really, if you get around and you travel, you go to Central America, you go to these places and you realize, you know, and like you see certain cultures and just differences in life, you know, I think that really opens your, you know, perspective to where you live, the life you have, you know. It's helped me. And I think traveling has done that. Hopefully we do get that back, because it's been, you know, you got to stick something up your nose, you got to bend over, you got to swab, you got to swab again, then you're wobbling, blah, blah, blah. But just be good, dude. You know, I'm racist, but whatever.
But you're a freedom lover.
Huh? I do love freedom. Is that bad?
No, it's good. But so are you challenging here and now Dave Proden to a wrestle?
Oh, I would love that. Is he strong? Is he strong?
Doesn't look very strong. He has strong opinions.
Yeah, strong, I know.
Strong, predictable opinions.
Strong opinions.
He just had a strong opinion. He hasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's because Miley Dyer took over as tour's manager, and she's been like, you know, pushing it.
Who's taking over?
Is it Jesse Miley Dyer?
Oh, Jesse, yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely lady.
Yeah.
Shredder.
What up?
It was lovely, lovely.
I just feel like, yeah, if Cronin wants to do a little wrestling, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So what sort of rules? UFC rules or more kind of more wrestling?
Are we really going to go to fight? I was just talking how we're picking everyone up and like being the good person. And now I'm getting thrown in this lion's den.
Well, it's not exactly a lion. It's like being thrown in the den.
With Cronin, I wouldn't want to do that to him.
I'd love to hear Cronin go off about fucking Hawaiians or something, or Brazilians.
He wouldn't do that, dude.
He's a pussy. He's a fucking
He's pussy. A horse's ass, as we say.
He's a dog
horse's
pussy.
Ass.
Cronin is a dog pussy. If he dares fucking go after our boy Brett and our boy Kolohe, ooh-wee.
Yeah, I don't know. That's funny Cronin did that. Maybe he's, you know, he's getting paid. We'll see. I mean, we'll have a talk. We have to hash it out, you know. Tour's manager or whatever he's doing, the Cronin hot seat over there. Doing a terrible job.
He's dog pussy heating his seat up.
Terrible job.
I don't know.
Hey. What's that, Chaz? What do you got?
Nothing.
You got nothing?
I got nothing. It was an absolute pleasure to spend the evening with Brett Simpson.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good to get these chats going. It's been a while to see you boys. I'm always following the adventures.
We have a good time, Brett. And that's all
that matters. Yeah. I think that is a big part. I think a little bit people are a little bit too serious with themselves. I love humor, even if it's not always what I agree with. You know, it's good. I think smiling, laughing. Some people don't do that. Can you believe that? They can't laugh.
How can you smile? Structural white supremacist structures just running the whole country. God damn it. we'll talk again soon.
You just gotta laugh it, boys. Oh. I'm gonna go have another tire. My tires are blown off. I've got 4 flat tires right now. All right.
Oh, you're beautiful, Brad. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Matt.
Later. Bye.
Love a classic chocolate chip cookie. Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.